Well, Arlen, as we look what's going on in the markets, as you and I were just talking, you back away from the screen for even 2 minutes and you come back and the numbers have changed. Corn and beans really can't decide which side of the fence they're going to want to trade on today.
Well, and that fence correlation or comparison is pretty accurate, because right now that fence for the December corn contract is the 100-day moving average. That's very significant. It's already above the 200-day moving average, believe it or not, trying to push above the 100-day moving average. And if it can establish itself above that, then that would suggest additional money coming into the pits. But overall, this is a market really hesitant now to push it in any direction too far beyond where it's at now until after it sees next week's March 31 USDA quarterly stocks reports and planting intentions reports. And so we're getting this choppy two-sided action. Money generally flowing into the commodity sector today, so that's providing some support. But as I said, traders really reluctant to push it too far until they see USDA's numbers next week.
Well, you know, when you talk about that report, we've been kind of hinting at what we might see for the last 2 weeks. So we're going to see trade maybe get more intense as we get closer to next Tuesday?
Absolutely. And when you look at the survey results of trade industry expectations going into the report, it's generally for about a 2 million acre decrease in corn and a little bit better than that for an increase in soybeans and, of course, a significant increase in grain sorghum, while cotton acres decline, wheat declines modestly. So that's kind of the trade expectation. A lot of the fund managers, though, are still caught up in USDA numbers, where they said back in February at the Outlook Forum that soybean acres would actually contract a little bit this year. And so they're reluctant to really believe some of these private estimates. They want to see USDA's numbers before really committing themselves.
You and I were also talking about this weather and the concerns about a dry spring in so many areas.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the winter that we had, it was the 17th driest on record going back to the late 1800s. If you look statistically at that, it would suggest about 48% odds that we'll have a dry spring, March, April, May period, about 24% odds of having an abnormally wet spring. Now, our partners at Commodity Weather Group acknowledge that March already, as we're about over with March, has been dry, and that's no secret. May is expected to be basically on the dry side as well, but April is supposed to see quite a bit more moisture. So if that's the case, we get the fertilizer on now, we get the rains, and then in May we're able to plant the crops. So what about the summer? There's been a lot of comparisons with 2012, and there are some in Nebraska. It's actually a little drier now than it was at the same point in 2012, although the drought was a lot more intense in Iowa and southern Minnesota that year. But the factors driving the weather patterns are different. So we get a much different result, and right now the odds are strongly in favor of rains returning in the June-July time period, providing good moisture for the crop. So at this point, we don't like the dryness, and it continues to linger on in the spring, but the summer looks like it'll be much more favorable, at least based on sea surface temperatures as we currently see them.
I just got a text message back from one of my crop consultants, and he said right now in the area that he's looking at in central Nebraska, he says they're actually wetter than what we were in 2012 at this time, but there's plenty of good subsoil moisture, at least right now, than what we had when we looked back then.
Yeah, so a regional basis, depending on where you're at, and of course, I'm looking at drought monitor data, which tends to be very delayed and stuff, but that's very encouraging. I know there's other farmers in other areas in Nebraska talking about how dry they are. So, of course, that's part of agriculture. And basically, as we look at where that dryness is, it's especially focused in the Dakotas and in Minnesota. As you go further east, though, eastern Midwest, quite wet, and that's probably going to continue to be a problem. We've seen a lot of wetness in the south and Texas across the Delta where they really wanted to be planting corn now. For example, the state report out of Louisiana on Monday indicated just 1% of the corn planted. Normally, they'd be about half planted by now.